I'm sharing all of this kind of not to describe water to a drowning person, but I think the insight I'm trying to give you is a different paradigm of looking at it, so that we get back, if you will, that we come to repentance, to realize that our answer is in God. That's where our answer is. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way than him. No other way but him. He has to be everything. If he's not, Lord of all of your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. And the church needs to examine, is Jesus Lord of our church? That's the joy of consensus government. I think that's one of the things that God gave us, why I'm excited about the CEC. Again, I'm not, you know, I'm very aware of where triumphalism can take you, believe me. Any bishop can say amen to that. But at the same time, I think God has given us something. And one of those things that we can proclaim to the church is consensus government. Look, you got churches running like the government. You know, where's board of trustees in the Bible? Yeah. Democracy. They're pulling out democracy. That's why they keep splitting and going down. Well, there's God. And consensus government is what? Ultimate goal of consensus government is hear God. You know, people say, how do you do consensus government? Hear God. That's how you do it. And then we just got some suggestions on how not to hear God. Like, don't play politics. Pray. Hear God. And then do what God is telling you to do. That's consensus government. And so I'm extremely, by the way, in the midst of all, it's going to go a little longer on the negative, but I'm excited. Because I believe this desperation is going to cause people to cry out to God. And the Holy Spirit will be poured out on his church. And God has not left the church. God loves the church. I have this hope in me. And that hope will not disappoint me because the love of God has been poured into my heart by the Holy Spirit. And that love needs to be poured into our church by the Holy Spirit. Constantly asking, Lord, fill this place with the Holy Spirit. That love, that genuine love. See, there's a generation that doesn't know what genuine love is. They know genuine lust. And they think it's love. I'm not saying the best friend stuff. Now, his wife. What's wrong with wife? This is my wife. That's a cherished term, isn't it? Somehow, best friend has become better than wife. Well, she's my best friend. No, she's my wife. I'm in a covenant with this person. We're one. We're one. And so I have this hope. I have the hope that we can forge our future and win our culture back. Talk about vision and mission. That's my vision. My vision is change New York City. That's my vision. You can take care of the rest of the... Oh. And win our culture. How are we going to do that? We're going to build strong families. We're going to be strong, get strong men and women, which means we have to come against divorce. We have to come against those things. And I have voices coming to me out of, what about single people? You don't talk about single, I'll minister to you. But I'm building strong families. Because that's God's plan. And strong families will build strong churches. And strong churches will build strong men and women. And strong men and women will build strong families. That will build strong churches. And those churches will change the culture. Those churches will baptize the nations. And right now, it's hard. Like I said when I started, if you think it's hard, you're feeling like it's really hard, it's hard. Sometimes life is hard. But it's also the life of holiness. To have said, I lived my life doing God's will. Whether I was successful at it or not, doesn't matter. But I did what God told me to do. Now, another shift has taken place as a result of the 60s. And if you're going to preach to millennials, 20-year-olds, if your congregation is all 70, you really need to hear this. But if you have any contact with a younger generation, a college-age generation up until their 30s, sometimes a little into their 30s, they've been educated in public schools. That's where they got their primary education. And they know how to use iPads and smartphones and, that generation that knows all the celebrities and who they've been married to but cannot tell you who the vice president of the United States is. That generation, that just know everything. Because, celebrities, like I tell you, celebrities are the high priest of what I'm going to talk about. They're the priesthood of that generation. They're the spiritual guides, and they'll tell you that too, of that generation. That as the culture's moved away, it's shot by postmodernism. Postmodernism thinking doesn't exist anymore. Few of us, that's a boomer thing. All truth is relative, all that kind of stuff. It is moved into there is truth. There's a new truth. And it's impacted the church. It's impacted the church so much, if you look at surveys, most Christians would be more in agreement with Buddha and Hinduism than they would Jesus. In fact, they've turned Jesus into a Hindu or a Buddhist. The young generation asked if they liked Jesus. 94% of millennials said they really liked Jesus. And the reason was because Jesus was just like them. Now, that's a scary thought. Today, you see, in some circles, and it's increasing, Christians, you and I, are extremists because we believe in same-sex marriage. We're against abortion. Some of you have questions about artificial birth control. Because we believe that, and we want, not only do we believe it, but we want to end abortion. We want to make it so no one can have an abortion, and that abortion would be something that we wouldn't even think about. Because you believe that, and we believe that the Bible, is the authoritative, inspired word of God. That God speaks through the Bible. You're not only considered extreme, you are a bigot. You are a racist. One CNN commentator said, the conservative Christian is the Ku Klux Klan of the 21st century. See, we're in the time when the great holy prophet John Lennon imagined there's no religion. Imagine there's no heaven or hell. Is coming about. It's here. And all you need is love. Love wins. You got to be careful when you preach that. Now, I believe that. love. But when you're, that's going out there and getting filtered through a whole lot of different things. Here's now intimacy. Intimacy. For some of us, we know what that sounds like, get intimate with God. You've got a generation to get intimate with God is a sexual encounter. Because that's what they do. They don't get married, they get intimate. We're just getting intimate with each other. And that means sex. That's another topic. So what I call this new moral values, and they're new. If you have a core value to your culture, the church has a core value. Right? So that whether Jesus is Lord, and that core value then determines everything that you do. Right? It all flows out of the core value. That's what George Washington and John Adams are talking about, say the Constitution is for a moral people. It's for people who have faith. That what they're saying is there's a core value that we share, like all men are created equal, that we're made in the image of God, that there's a creator. You know, they didn't go saying Jesus Christ is Lord, because it never would have passed. But they said there's about, even though there's 100 different denominations, are all core values, and they'll determine how we see things. And so the church in America always had the role of being the moral voice. That's the separation of church and state, you understand? It's that if you had a state religion, then it could not be the moral voice to the king. The king would take it over. And so if you separated it, then the church could speak into the culture. Church could speak into the culture. And that's dangerous. I was talking with one of the deacons. I learned a while ago in the Roman Catholic Church, you go to a Roman Catholic Church, you'll never find an American flag in the sanctuary. You won't find it. And you'll notice there's not an American flag in this sanctuary. Because this is not the United States. You are not in the United States right now. You are in the kingdom of God that happens to be located in this part of the United States. This is God's land. Right here. You're in alien territory. You know? So that was the idea. So then you can get up and speak about abortion. You can speak about same-sex marriage. You can speak about, you know, corruption. You can speak about whatever, slavery, race. You can do that because you're the moral voice. But that, see, it's not, everybody got all like in a tizzy when Barack Obama declared that we're not a Christian nation. We hadn't been for a while. I don't know if you noticed. But what is really challenging is that issue of core values. And when those are eliminated, they're replaced. There's not just nothing. They're replaced with another set of core values. And I'm going to tell you what they are. I call it the heresy of self-fulfillment. And it's preached in the church. It's preached in the church. How to be debt-free, how to keep your marriage together, how to, you know, counseling, all about being self-fulfilled. You know. And it's all self-fulfillment. How can I be self-fulfilled? And so there's some rules to this self-fulfillment. And one of them is, these are commandments. To find yourself, look into yourself. I am what I feel. If I feel gay, I'm gay. If I'm a man and I feel like a woman, I'm a woman. So to find out who you truly are, look into yourself. And therefore, when you are yourself that you found, I cannot tell you that you're not yourself. You follow me? Think of it. You can't tell. You can't say, I know you feel gay, but you're not gay. Or, you know, that doesn't matter. Because you are by looking in. Second, feelings are the truth. Feelings are the truth. What you feel is truth. So it's not important to find out anymore what you think. Thinking gets all messed up with facts. Facts are irrelevant. It's what you feel, okay? The fact that you have male genitalia doesn't make you a male. You're laughing. That's the new rule. And so everybody runs around and gets in touch with their feelings. Because that's where truth is. We want everybody to feel victorious. See? Ready for more? People may not criticize another person's life choice unless that person is a conservative and a Christian. Because we broke the first two rules. Do you understand? That's why they're mad. We won't do the first two. We actually say truth is a person. Can you imagine that? Truth is feelings. People in your church believe this. They choose churches by their feelings. I don't feel like I'm being fed anymore. I didn't feel God's presence. You ever heard that one? I didn't get anything out of the worship today. Nothing. I just tell them, you know, I wasn't expecting you to get anything out of it. I was more concerned if God got something out of it. What did God have to do with it? Next, to be fulfilled in life, you must pursue the things you desire the most. Okay, life is the pursuit of that which you desire. The self-fulfilled life is obtaining that which you desire. Are you getting the opposite? Because I'll go down the opposite Christian side, but I think you understand that that's not the gospel. But I'll tell you, 22,000 member church that preaches that every Sunday. People think, modern Christians think, that the mission of the church is to entertain Christians. And so they have a concert, light show, band, and all the saved are entertained. Nobody gets discipled. You don't preach morally offensive sermons because it'll upset people. People get upset. Do you know that when you talk about 4,000 babies, that upsets people. You shouldn't talk about that. They might leave the church because you'll make them feel uncomfortable. And their feelings are true. God forbid somebody should leave church uncomfortable and ready to repent. That'd be a disaster. Because then you wouldn't have any money. And if you don't have any money, you can't be happy and have a ministry. And that would make you feel bad. So pursuing the things you most desire is followed by enjoying yourself, or happiness is the highest goal of life. I just want to enjoy life. Heard that one? I just want to enjoy life. Everybody leave me alone. Let me enjoy my life. Because that's the ultimate goal. Enjoy life. And if I go to college, then I'll enjoy life. College is a pathway to enjoyment. Because we all know people without college educations are miserable. Right? They're just living a miserable life. They're subhuman. So therefore, we should give everybody a free college education so they can pursue what they most desire and enjoy life and be happy. Yes. Next. People can believe whatever they want as long as those beliefs do not enter the marketplace or impact society. You can believe whatever you want. You can believe that if you put a pyramid on top of your head, you can contact God. That's okay. Just don't preach it in the marketplace. Don't do street evangelism. You go knocking on doors without Jesus, they're going to slam the door in your face. Have you noticed that? You start talking about Jesus at work, you'll get, look, you can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want, but don't you talk about it from 9 to 5. Don't put a cross on your desk. Don't put a Bible on your desk. You can believe it. Nothing wrong. Look, I have nothing against Christians. Some of my best friends are Christians. But you just leave that out of work. And by the way, don't talk about it at the soccer game either. That's not what this is about. This is about soccer. My kids are enjoying themselves and they're happy. So take what you believe. You believe it. If it makes you happy, fine with me. You heard that? It's a core value. Any sexual act between two consenting adults is okay. We had a priest in Brooklyn, this was written up in Hustler magazine, that gathered a group of priests that were bringing in young Brazilian men, 18. We made sure they were 18. And they were having sexual activity, homosexual activity, in the sanctuary. They got caught. It was written up in Hustler magazine. The bishop, my dear bishop, investigated it and let them off because the sex was between consenting adults. And he couldn't understand why that didn't make sense to me. And that how narrow-minded I was to even question it. I've heard it said when clergy have had inappropriate sexual behavior with one of their counselees, which I'm not sure why they're doing that anyways, their supervisors letting them off because it was consenting adults. It's just two consenting adults. And they were feeling good. They were finding themselves. And nobody ever talks about the wife. It's in the church. We need to repent.